This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Talk Star Wars, the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Jeremy.
Yay, and can we give Jen an honorary mention?
Yeah. Give Jen a shout out. Say hello, Jen.
Hello.
Where's the shoulder wiggles from earlier?
Yeah, she's going to be doing the outro.
Where's all the sass?
Yeah, she's got a sassy outro that she's done for us.
That's actually an intro.
Oh, is it? I thought it was the outro.
Well, no. Did she get... then?
She could do that. Got a Minnie Mouse voice. Hey, Pluto!
Right, full disclosure, we are recording this episode very, very close to the last episode because my professional week this week is basically pantaloons. So we haven't really given Star Wars enough time to burp out anything new, have we?
No, it's broken all the records in China.
Yes, we've got some big box office news to get to.
Yep.
Which is exciting, and we've got another question from Rob. Which we're going to discuss. We've drafted Robin. He's going to be our weekly emailer, which I think is a good. Is going to be a nice thing. So should we just get straight? Should we get straight to Rob's? Anyone got anything they want to throw in, or should we get straight to Rob's new question?
Oh, I haven't seen Star Wars again yet, so I can only apologise.
That explains why it's taken so long to dethrone the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's all my fault, and I'm sorry.
Yeah,
about
it did take a long time, didn't it?
Yeah, I was getting a little bit worried there for a while.
Well, Avatar's looking a bit safer.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to beat Avatar. I hate that, but it won't.
It's only one re-release away from doing it, though, isn't it?
It won't even beat that silly boat film.
What you missed at the end of last week, Steve, I think, was Jeremy and I were talking about the prospect of The Force Awakens coming back to theatres ahead of Episode 8.
Yes, because we briefly discussed it, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that'll happen.
Yeah, ahead of Episode 8. What, next year then?
Yes, it'll be next year, before May.
I think it will be cheap without any extended footage or anything. At least Cameron put 8 minutes in the first cut and 16 minutes in the second cut.
But already bringing up James Cameron?
It didn't take long. We're going to have to start the James Cameron podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
He is my god.
Should we call it Avatarded?
Avatarred.
Can you say Avatarded? Is it politically correct? Don't you have to say Ava issues with certain bits of my functionality?
Maybe I'll just cut that.
Maybe
I'll just cut that bit.
40 grand again now, yeah. I think.
You're sailing close to the wind, but you're not off the edge of the earth yet.
No, I was hoping it might be one of those comments that I could sort of sneak out there and we just glossed past it, but you threw too much light on it, so I'm going to have to cut it out.
I should have just left it where it was.
It's like a great big CG iceberg.
It is. He has just sunk Mark's Titanic.
Okay.
Now, leave it in, Mark. I think you're fine.
All right, we'll see how we go. I promise I won't say it again.
Is there a condition called Ava?
I don't know.
Because if there is, I'll Google that. If there is, then you can't say Avatar. But if there isn't, you're all right.
Don't say it again. Let's move on. All right, Rob's emailed us. And he's put, "Hi guys, I'm still loving the show. I had a chance to listen to a lot of the older episodes, and some things occurred to me. One thing I noticed... One thing I noticed that was cool was how much between you guessed correctly for what might happen in The Force Awakens. Well, not everything came off for everyone's predictions, and I was no exception. My question, therefore, is, were there things you predicted that didn't come off that you would rather have seen happen in reality? Mine was that I was convinced Chewbacca would be the one to die rather than Han, especially when they release a book called Life Debt in the run-up to the film's release. It seemed like a preemptive way to explain to people why Chewie might be doing something like that, plus Chewie dying first happened in Legends canon, which is true. He was killed in a book called Vector Prime, I believe. So, okay, nice, neat question. Was there anything you predicted would happen in The Force Awakens that didn't, that you would rather have happened?
I predicted that Han would live.
Yeah, we all kind of shifted position on that towards the end there, didn't we?
I kind of knew he would die. That was one of the things I wish I was wrong about.
Well, that kind of works in response to Rob's question, really, isn't it? I suppose the other side of the coin. That was something that you saw coming you wish wasn't.
Yeah.
To be fair, we all saw it coming, didn't we?
Jeremy. The clone thing, I guess, still could happen. You know, the thing
yes.
the end.
Yeah, that was good, actually. That was a good predict. Just as a refresher, you'd said you thought perhaps the Knights of Ren were clones.
Yeah, and cloned with the being extremely force sensitive. But that, I suppose they could still do that. What I was hoping for was a load of, you know, a load of Jedi, or maybe not a load of Jedi, but a load of Sith equivalents to have some colossal lightsaber fights and that, but it didn't kind of come off. But no. I wish they'd have gone, like I said that last time we were on here, that a bit more lightsaber would have been good, but I do need to see it again to sort of get that.
Well, but how much lightsaber was there in the original series? In the first one? How many lightsaber battles was there?
Just the one, right?
But you weren't introduced to lightsabers then, and you weren't making them at home out of like light fittings and PVC tubing all the time.
No, but we did have toys with hollow arms that we could slip the lightsabers out of.
Yeah,
so we
did
know them.
Did you see the thing earlier where they were actually Ben and Vader and their respective actors were actually, despite Spielberg, Lucas telling them not to, they kept whacking them together. And
you see the dust clouds
in A New Hope where they're being smacked together so hard.
Yeah, the dust was the little pieces of the reflective material coming off, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. Because there's one bit in A New Hope where he kind of points the lightsaber towards the camera and you can see
that it's a stick.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice...
Didn't care.
No, and there's another scene where you can see the electrical cord.
Yeah, I saw that as well. That's just
I've
shocking.
Never noticed it. Did you ever notice it?
Not until I saw that video that Steve sent out.
Yeah, it was really sad. A little tangent there.
So what do you think, Jeremy? What did you predict initially that you would wish had come to pass?
To be fair, I'm still a bit in love with it. So there's not a lot I think that I would want to change.
No, I'm with you there as well. When I read this question, I kept thinking, well, I kind of thought this, but I'm glad that didn't happen. I have been saying in the run-up to it, all the predictions we were making, I didn't really care if I was wrong on every count because I wanted to be surprised.
Mm. We said that as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And I suppose the only thing I can come back to, which, much like Steve's clone theory, could still come to pass, even though everybody in the world is shouting it down at the moment, is Snoke being Darth Plagueis. As much as everybody's protesting and saying, no, it's not, categorically, it is not, I still think it would be a great tie-in and a wasted opportunity not to do it.
What the scars on him, how did he get them? He's disfigured horribly by some kind of bladed weapon, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a lot of explaining to do, isn't there? There's a lot of backstory to tell.
Yeah, so I think you're right. It would be a wasted opportunity not to have him being Darth Plagueis.
Does
he then not look weak because, you know, the Emperor pretty much chopped him into little pieces and it's taken him 60 years to feel better?
I don't know. I mean, it depends, because if Palpatine thought that he was dead, then he must have done a pretty good job on him. And then all that stuff that they were talking about at the opera about him experimenting with the Force to sort of prolong life and that sort of thing shows how powerful he is, really, to be able to use it to bring himself back from near death. So I don't think it has to diminish any of the characters.
The Sith Lords, for want of a better word, and the dark side, are weak-minded anyway. They're not strong-minded. That's the whole point, isn't it? That they are easily succumbed by the dark side of the Force.
Yeah, and they're selfish and they're cowardly.
Yeah. So I think
actually, all my favourite traits in people.
for me, there were two things for me. The first was the what you just touched on, which was the fact that I wanted to be surprised and wrong about everything too, and I wasn't surprised at all, or by most of it. It was basically, and that's been addressed by him today, isn't it? J.J. Abrams addressed the fact
that
people said it was A New Hope, and he said it was deliberate because he didn't want to throw people into a completely new adventure type thing. I'm not quoting.
We touched on last week when we coined the frame freeboot, which we need to.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure if I
copyright talks
because
Stars.
He could have made a completely different movie that everyone was shocked by, and it would still made £2 billion, which is what Disney want. At the end of the day, it's a financial entity, and it's got to make money. So why did he play it safe? I'm not sure. Maybe the next one will be that tangent we want. For me, go on, Jeremy.
No, I have to come.
I was going to say the second one was quite simple. It's more of a perception. I had visions in my head of Han and Leia running around like they used to, and Leia wasn't in it hardly at all. And it I kind of was looking, and that was really never going to happen. I had it in my head that they'd be romping around on a planet trying to break into
We did say quite early on in the development of the film that we thought that they were going to take on the similar roles to Alec Guinness and Peter Cushing and those kind of very stoic,
yes,
classic characters in the background.
It was the passing of the torch. They had to let the new characters come in. Yeah. You couldn't have stuck Leia in a gold bikini. It wouldn't look good. I think Han was the best option for the running around anyway, and I think it was a great song song for him. I think we really enjoyed his character. We invested in him, and he had to unfortunately get killed, Steve, because it is what the story needed.
Talking about gold bikinis, did anyone see the recent pictures that were released from one of the men's magazines in the 80s of Leia?
Yes, they're on the site, actually. Rolling Stone magazine, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the surf.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, if any of you want to see Leia, not now, obviously, but in her prime.
Don't be mean about Carrie Fisher.
No.
Can we address the Carrie Fisher thing as well?
Why is
everyone being mean about somebody who's aged 40 years in 40 years? I don't get it.
Oh, no, I don't think she's looked bad at all. I mean, I don't want to see her in a gold bikini anymore, but I'm sure she wouldn't want to
show
me.
She's got a lot of flack for aging 40 years in the space of 40 years. And
I still think she looks fantastic. And I think she's so razor sharp. She's awesome.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, I don't think you'll mind me saying, and Jen's just coming and looking at me like with a smack ready, that I don't mind looking at her rolling around in the surf.
Well, I think people should, you need to see these photographs. You can go to talkstarwars.co.uk and click on the, in the tab, click on Classic Star Wars, and it's right there on the homepage. She looks incredible. And I think you might find that I write something like, I was right to fall in love with Carrie Fisher.
You were.
I definitely was.
I'm going to show Jen while you talk.
Yeah, okay. So in answer to Rob's question, there are things we wish had happened, but not an awful lot, because I think we're all pretty much sold on this film anyway, aren't we? Steve,
well, two of us
Steve
are.
Steve aside.
Yeah, I think...
Well, and with the best one in the world, Steve, most of the other people on the planet seem to be quite pleased with it. It's doing all right.
It's not doing bad, is it? Which actually set us up perfectly there, Jeremy, to segue into some Force Awakens news, which we will kick off with the huge box office result it's had over the weekend. We're now at $1.73 billion and the dinosaurs have fallen underfoot. Yeah. Jurassic World is no longer at number 3.
It's a good year for movies, though, isn't it?
It's a good year for movies. I mean, everyone's a winner here, aren't they, really?
What did Guardians of the Galaxy do?
Let's have a look.
Because that would be interesting.
Which was another awesome film.
Yeah. It's a very good film, but I don't think it did these sort of numbers.
I think I've said this before. for me, much better film. If I had the two films now, I'd whack on Guardians.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah. An incredulous silence fell over the pair of us then. Much as I loved Guardians of the Galaxy, this film is superior.
Oh, box office mojo's down, so there can be no Guardians of the Galaxy talk.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, it also, I mean, you know, talking about box office, it's broken all the records in China where it's just opened and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not doing what they predicted out there, is it? Was it 37?
In a month.
It's 37
been a month.
Million?
I think that people have found out the secrets. They all know about, you know, hand dye. Everyone knows it now. So I think they waited too long.
It would have been better to do a simultaneous release.
Yeah, worldwide.
Oh, so my lovely Avatar is safe.
Well, for the minute.
Yeah, because it's box office and they're not going to do a re-release. They won't do it.
I think they will.
They may stick a Rogue trailer in. If they advertise a Rogue trailer, we'll all go and watch it again to watch a Rogue trailer. And then you're right, they'll do a re-release as well.
Can I mention 2 points while we're on the subject of Rogue trailer? Rogue trailer? Is the one on...
Your McGregor film, isn't it?
Huh? No, Rogue trailer.
Rogue trailer is a Ewan McGregor film.
Yes. The Bearings, Nick Gleeson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is the Rogue Trader... So you've got me doing it now. Is the trailer for that on YouTube real?
Yes, the one that...
The teaser?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, because I thought it was fan-made for a minute, and then I thought, oh, hang on, this is like in an auditorium.
Yeah, it's from Celebration, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's not particularly giving up anything. There's a picture of a planet with a Death Star... And Obi-Wan doing his voiceover, isn't
it? Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Okay.
It's on, I've got that as well on the website. But the copies I keep finding keep getting taken down.
Okay. And my second point was, why, even with that trailer, why would anyone go and see it with no extended footage or different when they all have it on Blu-ray?
People
because
will.
But cinema.
The same reason they went to see Avatar again, Steve.
Yeah, but that was extended.
It's not the extended thing won't happen, but I still think people will go, and they're going to go. This is another thing that Jeremy and I spoke about last week after you jumped off the podcast. The marketing of Rogue One has to be handled very, very carefully now.
Yeah, I watched your video earlier with the rolling credit.
So I'm really concerned about whether or not people are going to confuse it for Episode 8. So. Perhaps it will be part of the marketing strategy to clearly frame Rogue One this year and then start leading up to Episode 8. Because by the time we get Rogue One, there's probably going to be at least a teaser for Episode 8.
So,
yeah.
Do you think, going off on your video you made earlier, which, mm-hmm. by the way, can you slow down? Because I couldn't read it.
Oh, was it too fast for you?
I had to keep pausing the video. On the Talk Star Wars YouTube channel, Mark's put a video which is quite cleverly done. Basically, it's asking the question: will there be rolling? What did you call them?
The opening crawl.
Opening crawl for Rogue One. Now, I think if they want to attach this, bless you, if they want to attach this to Star Wars, you can't. There's certain things you can't not do, and I think you've got to have that crawl, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and a long time ago, I think that needs to be there.
Yeah, and doesn't it all matter? I mean, you make sure that the wording of that crawl and the way you define the story that's going to happen is made so that even the most uneducated Star Wars fans will know that it's not current. It's something. You know, between New Hope and...
But some of that work's got to be done outside before they bought their ticket.
Yes.
I think it's going to harm the box office. I mean, Rogue One doesn't stand a hope in hell of doing anywhere near what Force Awakens has done anyway. But it's going to harm the box office if people go in there and they think they're getting Episode 8 and then they get something with no characters they recognise... And they're gonna be expecting something they're not gonna get, and it's hard for us to understand that that's the way some people will go into this, but they will. The same people that said, where was Luke? Or is Luke this guy in black? You know, that's an audience. That's a significant percentage of the audience. They're going to get very confused by Rogue One. So they should already be marketing it and explaining to people exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So no, when they go in there and they sit down, they understand. Because the branding that they're doing at the moment, calling it a Star Wars story, which personally I don't like, but calling it a Star Wars story, you can see that those credits, I think I put it on that YouTube video actually, that if they put the title at the top where you'd normally get Star Wars, and then, or you get the episode number, and then underneath you get the subheading, that would be a Star Wars story. So it's got a new brand.
So what are they going to call episode 3.5?
No.
2.5.
3.5? I don't think there'll be any decimals or fractions.
Yeah.
It's just going to be Rogue One. That's what I think it will be. At the top of the crawl, I think it'll be Rogue One, and then underneath it'll be a Star Wars story. So then, in a couple of years, when we get the Han Solo one, which we're going to discuss in a minute, it'll say Han Solo, a Star Wars story, and then you'll get a crawl.
See, I think that's a mistake as well. Like, don't disassociate it with Star Wars by not making it Star Wars. Like, it is Star Wars still.
Oh, we'll still have that Star Wars, the logo, you know, the outline. It's just the outline with the black space in the middle. It'll still have that, I think. But then as the crawl goes up, it'll have the title of the film and then the brand that is a Star Wars story underneath it.
Wouldn't you rather it say Star Wars, Rogue One? And then make sure that people know the way you describe preemptively. And then just make it... Because I'm not sure that I'm going to be that invested in it if it's kind of tacked on to the whole Star Wars universe. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, I do see what you mean.
I want to be. I mean, you know, I don't know anything about it. And perhaps it's going to be impossible for me to not know anything about it doing the podcast. But it would be kind of nice not to know anything about it and just think, oh, it's another Star Wars thing. They're obviously going to be referencing... events, aren't they?
Yeah.
In that film, so
they're obviously going to heavily reference the prequels. They'll have to, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and there'll be characters. It depends where it's set between the two trilogies, doesn't it? If it's set smack bang in the middle, then you've got a lot more room to move.
Well, it can't be because they found, you know, they got the
plans.
Plans, didn't they? Just for Star Wars.
See, I said in a Star Wars Insights that I put it up on Movie Geeks Film News at first, and then I ported it across to Talk Star Wars when I was doing the jiggery pokery with the math to try and make Felicity Jones Mon Mothma. I was kind of guesstimating that it would be minutes before Episode 4. You know, this film will end, Rogue One will end moments before. Literally, I imagined Billy Lord perhaps playing a young Carrie Fisher on the bridge of the blockade runner with Jimmy Smits, who would have appropriately aged to be her dad, getting the plans and then you go straight to the start of Episode 4. That was the way I imagined it going.
So R2 and C-3PO will have to be in it as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah, why not?
Well, it'll have to be, wouldn't it? I can't see maybe just cameos at the end, a bit like a Luke Skywalker bit, but
if the teaser trailer, now I know it's real, is to be taken as pretty much fact, and there is a, for want of a better word, a setting Death Star viewed from another planet, which Death Star is that?
That's the original one that they end up blowing up.
It was nowhere near a planet, was it?
It moved around, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it moved. Oh, I see. Of course it did. Yes, because
it moved to clear the planet, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah. The Death Star has cleared the planet.
This is, I think, where
actual stuff finished. Would understand.
Didn't it take them a long time to build that first Death Star?
Well, they had the plans.
It took like 19 years, right? Because they started in Episode 3.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah.
And then there's all this big pomp and ceremony about this blowing up Alderaan will be the final demonstration of this battle station. It took 19 years to build that.
It's only the size of a small moon.
Yeah, but they got it from Space IKEA and the instructions were just impossible.
But they didn't
read.
Put one of those little Allen keys in there, did they? No. They were all going around trying to find one. Yeah, I get you. A Geonosian Allen key.
Even 3PO, who's fluent in 6 billion forms of communication, couldn't
work out the IKEA.
I tried to say that other flat pack furniture is available.
Yeah, we should, yeah.
Yeah. Oh dear. Anyway, we digress.
We did digress. Where the hell? Where did we leave off? Okay, let's get.
Basically, we're on to the original question of what did we want that didn't happen.
Oh yeah, no, we jumped past that. We'd done the box office, and then we started talking about Rogue One. Okay, let's talk about the Force Awakens Blu-ray. So, JJ is saying that there will be deleted scenes on the Blu-ray, which is obvious, but no extended cut. Who wants an extended cut? We touch on this last week, didn't we, saying that we didn't think that he would do it, but this is, you know, definitive now.
Well, unlike James Cameron, when he finishes a film, it's perfect, you know. James Cameron has to tinker.
No, he doesn't tinker. He can't release the version he wants in the cinema because they're always too long, so he has to come in afterwards with his own version. Don't start.
Is this the hill we want to die on this podcast?
It's not. I'll give you an extended cut that you won't. You'll bleed out from.
I'm happy that they're not going to do an extended cut.
I'm happy too. I'm happy with this cut.
I like exploring Blu-rays and DVDs and looking at all the extra scenes. Yeah. I enjoyed that and trying to figure out where it'd be. And a lot of the time, you watch them and go, "It was fun," but yeah, they're right. It would have been pointless. It did nothing for the film. And I don't think that he needs to do much to it. It is in itself a glorious piece of joy.
If anyone is listening and wants to, Jeremy, you mentioned their extras, and one of the best DVD Blu-rays, well, no, it's not a Blu-ray because it's not released on Blu-ray yet, one of the best DVDs that for stuff like that is the special edition of The Abyss on DVD, and it has a fantastic entry, which is, oh my god, it's amazing, where Ed Harris almost dies making it, and him and James Cameron have never really got on since, and where they filmed the entire thing in a flooded nuclear bunker.
Yeah, they put polystyrene beams on the top or something, didn't they? Yeah.
It's just, have you seen it, Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Talking about that, The Abyss has been on twice in the last week on, I'd say terrestrial TV, but not cable. And last night...
Film 4, wasn't it?
Yeah, the special edition.
Sci-fi, wasn't it?
Yeah, they didn't advertise it as the special edition either. And I thought, hang on a minute, is this a... And they started singing. And if you give me... You know the bit, Jeremy.
You were hoping we were all going to launch into a musical number there, weren't you?
We're letting you fall flat in your face there.
Yeah, we're going to throw you under that bus.
How horrible.
Can I tell you what my favourite DVD is for extras? And that is Shaun of the Dead. If you... did you watch the zombie facts? Watch it with the zombie facts on. It's brilliant. It tells you all the new actors, second album they ever bought, and all these, every nod to every other horror film. For example, you know the woman in the bar that they're slagging off? I'm not going to use any of the words that they use for her, but the drunk old lady in the corner of the bar.
Yeah.
She was actually the pregnant daughter of the farmer in Carry On Camping. So, if...
But no, I don't have to watch it. You've ruined all the special features, Jeremy.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. There's so many more. And all the little plot holes, they fix all them as well. Brilliant.
Okay.
Anyway, let's...
Well, I love the Phantom Menace DVD for special features. Because that the documentary on there, I think it's called The Beginning, is feature length. It's absolutely spectacular. And if George had only seen that before he'd made the film,
yeah,
at some point, and Ant on the Movie Geeks film cast pointed this out on a recent episode. He said George actually says in that documentary, "Jar Jar's the key. If we get him right," it's a famous last words, right?
My God.
Jar Jar is the key.
Oh my God.
You know what you were just saying about extended scenes and everything? And popping them back into the film. Well, I took... This is his second shout out on this episode. I took Rob's advice from last week where he said about the audiobook. So I got the audiobook from Audible and I've been listening to it this week. And goodness me, it's wordy. I'm really enjoying it, and the guy that's reading it is spectacular, and there's plenty of Foley and music. It's really well made. But it just goes to show you how well these Star Wars films are made and how well JJ did with The Force Awakens, because they move so briskly. They've trimmed all the fat off the story, and it just works. It works with the visuals, it works when you can contextualise the scene without that, without the need for all that additional dialogue and additional exposition. It's just so skillfully done. But I recommend the audiobook because it's great, but it just goes to show, when you hold it up against a film, just how well a film's made when it can be so economic with its storytelling.
There was no wasted screen time in that. I mean, the prequels were awash with dull bits, weren't they? But there's nothing. I think every scene moves quickly to the next and tells the story. That there's no, you know, oh look, there's always a bigger fish bit, which was pointless. No, there was none of that. It's a brilliant film, and I still love it.
Well, that's the difference. I mean, that there is always a bigger fish as an example. Completely incidental and crap, and not even done well. You do have.
Yeah, but there was always a bigger fish, and then there was, again, always a bigger fish. Get caught by a fish, bigger fish eats it. Get caught by a fish, bigger fish eats it.
But you do have similar things in the original series, like the asteroid. Mark's going to know the official name of that creature.
It's a slug.
Yeah, it's a space slug, isn't it?
Space slug. The space slug, it served a purpose, and it was fantastic sci-fi, a huge thing living in an asteroid, but actually it was part of it. They used it as an excuse to show Han and Leia's relationship sort of building, didn't they? And it kind of worked. And that's kind of one of the differences, is that there were, in the prequels, there were big set pieces, but a lot of them served no purpose at all in the story. They were just visual, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes it really slowed things down as well. The one thing that the biggest disappointment for the prequels, in the prequels for me, was there was a scene where in Attack of the Clones, which is my least favourite one, Yoda's floating around in a silly little saucer shaped chair, and Sam Jackson and Ewan McGregor are walking along. Everything around them is computer generated. The camera barely moves around them, and all they're doing is talking. It's the very epitome of tedious.
It's stagnant.
And you look at how quickly The Force Awakens tears through things like that, and everyone's moving. There's speed of movement through the frame and speed of movement off the frame in a Star Wars film, and that's what George seemed to forget.
You two should be jealous of me.
Why?
Because...
What have you just done?
Because I essentially don't think I've seen this movie you keep talking about, and I'm going to see it and perhaps be wowed like you were.
Well, I hope so.
But I think part of your problem, Steve, you went and watched it on your own, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I'm going.
And I think Mark said that, well, it's true, but Mark said the first time he watched it was only with, you know, three other people, wasn't it? And the experience of watching it with other fans and enjoying it together and it amplifies it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It really does.
I think that's where you went wrong. We could have saved you. We could have resuscitated you at the end of it when you were going, oh no, hand up. We could have explained all this and gone, do you remember that bit, that bit, that bit? And it was necessary, and you'd have gone, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right there. But we're going to see it in IMAX. So
we're going to see it in IMAX, and it is the next bit on the show notes is perfectly in keeping with what we've just been talking about, which is JJ's comments, which we touched on briefly earlier, about the concerns you had, Steve, when you left the screening, about how close it was to A New Hope. And I've just cut a little passage out, a little quote from JJ where he said, I can understand that someone might say, oh, it's a complete rip-off. He's been listening to you, Steve. What was important for me was introducing brand new characters using relationships that were embracing the history that we know to tell a story that is new, to go backwards, to go forwards, which is essentially what we said last week, wasn't it? It was get the rhythms and hues of Star Wars down so that people aren't too put off by it.
Can I just say, has JJ heard Steve on the podcast?
I think he's probably been listening to Steve.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of... I'm not convinced that they actually sat there beforehand and said, let's make it the same as A New Hope, just to get that rhythm down. But, okay, fair enough that he's actually sort of admitting to it and finding a reasonable excuse, which is kind of believable.
Why does it have to be an excuse, Steve?
Because
why frame it like that?
If you believe in it, like, then believe in your work. Don't even answer to those accusations.
Star Wars haters like you.
No, I'm a Star Wars lover. I think
you're not.
Probably the biggest one here. No, that's
really
not. You two are the
really.
and Freddie.
Yeah.
But disappointment is palpable, but not irreversible. And that's two words with three syllables.
Disappointed with nothing in the film.
Yeah, I haven't. And the more I think about it, the more robust it gets, my love for
There was one scene I thought, what was the point in that? And that's why it's only 9.999, was when Ray was flying along on a speeder thing and there was a bird pecking some tin.
And
at that point, only because at that point I thought, oh shit, it's going to be just like prequels and all full of that kind of pointless stuff, and then instantly I'd forgotten about it and it was brilliant. So that if that would that bit there, I thought, oh no, it's not going to be like that old CG. And
that was practical, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
but I was worried that there was going to be a lot of nonsense in it.
Weird.
It
wasn't.
Instantly fantastic.
That was something, actually, as I think back, that was really good, the fact that there wasn't a lot of... Even a lot of the practical puppets were just sitting there and not dancing or blue things playing on a keyboard.
Max Freeboot.
Yes, that's what Freddie told us.
Yes.
Is it Freeboot?
Reboot, isn't it?
Reboot. Yeah, Max Reboot, or Rebo. I'm just looking at him on... I'm going to mark this moment in time. I'm just looking at an action figure on Twitter, so I'm going to retweet that right now.
Are you looking at an action figure of, can I just put now?
Max Rebo.
Sandman.
Oh, yeah, same person.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I would write.
Never mind. So, I just want to give a quick mention to a lady named Gloria Garcia, who is an actress who is in The Force Awakens, and she was on another Star Wars podcast, which pales in comparison to ours, called Rebel Force Radio. She plays a character called Dasha Promenti at the very start of The Force Awakens. She is the first badass female we get to see in 10 years of Star Wars. With any luck, she will be joining us on the podcast next week.
Yay!
So if you're listening to this is going up on Monday. If you're listening to this, we are going to be recording, with any luck, with Gloria in a couple of days. So get us your questions if you want to ask her any questions about what it's like to shoot a Star Wars movie.
And Mark, can we outline the scene she's in Star Wars so that people can sort of remember back?
Yes. She's referring to herself as the Jakku Defender. So it's just as Poe Dameron is getting ready to leave at the very start, leave the Jakku village with the plans to find Luke, and the stormtroopers come in and attack the village. She is right at the start with a rifle tooled up, ready to go into battle. Superb.
And there you go.
And she is such a lovely lady as well. She's so enthusiastic about Star Wars.
But she's been Inspector as well, right?
She was Inspector, yeah, and she's got a new movie that she's working on. She's been in EastEnders, she's done a number of things, she's living over here at the moment.
Oh, good. Well,
so, yeah, we'll look forward to that.
Awesome. That will hopefully put us into the stratosphere of having two listeners.
One's Jeremy and the other one's me.
No, yeah. One's Rob.
I'm so sad I always listen to them and critique ourselves.
Don't forget Rob.
Oh yeah, no, three listeners.
He's writing half the stuff, for God's sake, give him the credit.
It's the spine of the show.
Yeah.
Fine.
Alright,
featuring Rob from now on.
Yeah, the special Kessel guest star.
This is what it would be called, the Kessel Rob.
No, we're not robbing anybody's titles off of them. Well, right, let's get back to the show notes. We've got a little petition that started online, which I'm not sure I'm very happy about. It's a petition started on change.org to reinstall George Lucas as the director of Star Wars.
God, no, please.
They actually want to remove Colin Trevorrow from episode 9 and put George in the director's chair.
No.
I'm glad you said that. I've run a Twitter poll today. It's got an hour left to go on it. And I asked the question, should George Lucas return to direct a Star Wars movie or a Star Wars story entry, you know, one of those spin-off films, or a live-action TV show? Because there is talk of a live-action TV show at some point on an outlet like Netflix. And I put this question out. 58% of people have said no. And then 14% of people... There's 14% of people have voted for yes, a spin-off film, yes, a TV show, and yes, episode 10. What do we think about the prospect of George doing something that isn't part of the Star Wars saga?
I think 42% of the public have problems. Did you say 42%?
Thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah, that I'd find that... I can't believe that. After all the problems with Star Wars in the last 15 years, and to have one that the most of the world thinks is awesome, why would you risk going back?
Yeah.
I think George lost his vision. He stopped understanding what he'd done. That would tell a story. Once he got the tools to make some kind of visual spectacle, he thought that's what it was all about. And I think he lost the gist of it.
Yeah. I mean, George Lucas will always be Star Wars. I mean, he's a visionary for even making it, and I'm not taking anything away from him. The guy is a god in his own right, but you know, he lost his way, didn't he, with the prequels,
and I think he was seduced to the CG side.
Yeah,
I think he started treating Star Wars as his workshop, and he was using the Star Wars franchise as a place to develop technologies and techniques like non-linear editing, which has become the mainstay of cinema, and digital cinematography, CGI, computer-generated characters. A lot of what he did has been fantastic, and it's ended up with us getting movies like Interstellar, movies like Ex Machina, which, I've got to admit, I love these films. I'm glad for the legacy that George has given the world. But Star Wars isn't a place to work out these things. That's not where you get your bumps and scrapes. That's not his lab to work these things out.
No. Did you say Ex Machina then?
Ex Machina, yeah.
I thought it was Ex Machina.
No, that's because that's another thing you're wrong about, Steve.
But didn't we have this argument on Movie Geeks?
Yes, we did, and you were proven wrong.
I thought it was it. I always said it was Ex Machina.
It isn't. It is Ex Machina, yeah. Because Latin.
Oh, okay. Maybe I've convinced myself that I was right and was actually wrong.
And you were wrong about that.
No memory. Go on,
you can join the 18,135 people who are wrong about reinstalling George Lucas as a director of Star Wars, because that's how many people are supporting this.
Wow.
That's this petition. It's got an extra 3,000 followers or supporters.
That isn't
today.
Enough, is it, in the scheme of things?
I just think that he sold the franchise and move on.
Yeah, Disney aren't going to let it happen in a million years.
There's no way on earth it will happen. There's absolutely no way it will happen. But if it was to happen, I'd rather he did something like the TV show.
TV, yeah, definitely the TV. Do a bit of that.
Because I love George Lucas as much as the next guy. American Graffiti is probably my favourite movie. I love what the guy's done for cinema. Without American Graffiti, there'd be no modern cinema. But he can't be in Star Wars anymore because he doesn't understand what it is anymore.
He's also a trendsetter because 40 years down the line, everyone has figured out the beards are cool.
Yeah, especially white ones.
Yeah. Like a little Santa Claus.
Okay, so I'm sorry to Yuri Luiz, who's doing this change.org petition, and the 18,000 plus people that he's doing that with.
Go boy.
You're all wrong.
Yeah.
All right, one last piece of mainstream Star Wars news, and that's the Han Solo movie. We touched on this. When did we last talk about this? Were we talking about this privately today?
Yeah,
It was on the
podcast last week as well.
It was on the podcast last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Han Solo movie. Last week we mentioned that 2,500 people had auditioned, or at least sent in audition tapes to bag the role of Han Solo. Now the field has been considerably reduced to just 12 names. Do you recognise any of the names on this list?
Well, I don't. Dave Franco. I mean, really?
I can't believe he's on the shortlist.
I mean, it's just, I like him, but in no way in a million years would I even consider him as being possible for that part. I know Anthony Ingram.
I even heard Jamie Bell today as well.
Oh, I don't know about
that. Is this a deliberate?
This list came out through EW, I believe.
Right.
Let's have a quick look.
Because I mean, I don't know half the names, to be honest, but it doesn't, you know.
Scott Eastwood, I like, but
who's he?
He's Clint Eastwood's son.
Clint Eastwood's son.
Oh, okay.
But what one thing I will say is, I just think he's a little bit too old, and not even that he may not actually be. Because they need to be in their early to mid 30s, don't they, really, if they're doing 10 years ahead of A New Hope.
Is it 10 years after A New Hope or 10 years before?
10 years before.
Well, they'd be 25.
Yeah, be in their 20s then, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, early to mid 20s, because I think Harrison Ford was 35 when he shot that film, but the character's supposed to be about 28. So again, play fast and loose with numbers.
Isn't the deliberate omission of, well, I don't know if it's deliberate, isn't the omission of Anthony Engraber, like, make you think that maybe that's deliberate?
I don't know, I think that's wishful thinking, actually, Steve, because I thought the same thing myself. Because I sent, this came out through Variety, but I saw Anthony Bresnikan from EW talking about it. And I sent him a message saying, is Anthony Engraber not in the running anymore? Because he's the only answer.
He is.
And when you look at some of these people, I mean, Miles Teller is a fantastic actor, and I'm sure he'd be spectacular in a genre movie, even though he wasn't in Fantastic Four. But that's not Harrison. That's not a young Harrison Ford I'm looking at.
But he's already played a young Harrison Ford in whatever it was he played him in. So it's already established that he can do a young
Anthony Engraber. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But do you think this will really annoy me in the same way that Han dying did? That they're kind of sitting there thinking, why does he have to look like Harrison Ford? But he has to look like Harrison Ford because we love that character, and the way someone looks is part of that character.
It is, and it's not just the way he looks, it's mannerisms, it's cadence, and
yeah.
It's
I think with the people like us, the fanboys that invest so much into this, we're the ones that want him to do it, and the Star Wars muggles of the world will have no idea who he is. So when he appears on the screen, they'll be like, "Oh, well, oh, that's amazing! That is young Harrison Ford." I don't see how they could go wrong by using him.
At the moment, they're flirting with the exact opposite, though, aren't they, Jeremy? Because what they're going to end up doing is if they slap Dave Franco in Harrison Ford's uniform in this spin-off film, first thing people are going to do is they're going to be pulled out of the movie going, who the hell is this bloke?
I've got a theory, Mark.
Go on, mate.
Wouldn't it be lovely, have you seen Ant-Man? We've all seen Ant-Man. I thought what they did with Michael Douglas's face was nothing short of extraordinary.
Yeah, it was clever,
wasn't
it?
They're not going to do it with Harrison Ford, Steve.
But wouldn't it be good if he played himself and they just put a young face on him? Why not?
I don't know.
He could run around.
In a couple of years, maybe.
If you haven't seen Ant-Man, watch it. Just see how far CGI has progressed, because you cannot see the seams, can you, Mark?
No, they did it a few years ago, didn't they? In Tron Legacy.
Yeah, but Tron Legacy was poo with that. I mean, not the film. I quite enjoy the film, actually. The actual... It didn't look like him, did it?
No.
But they did the Hobbit films, well, didn't they, with Orlando Bloom?
Yeah, he looked like a China doll in that. It was weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd rather they didn't do that just yet.
The Michael, honestly, I was sitting there going, how the hell have they done? I just couldn't believe how good it was. And, you know, relatively, no, it wasn't a low budget movie, but comparatively a relatively low budget movie, and just perfectly done and totally believable. Why couldn't
I think that they need to, once again, pass the torch, hand on to another person, because you'll get a trilogy out of this as well, and Harrison Ford will be 80-odd by the time they finish the trilogy of it.
Well, yeah.
So you can't do it.
No. No, possibly not. Possibly not.
So you're wrong.
Or, why can't they? Maybe that will be the next big break in technology, is to have an actor playing a part without him having, except for signing off saying you can use my likeness, having no part of it and using computers to generate his voice and his image.
They've done that before.
I think we're a way away from that being passable, though.
Well, Ant-Man, I mean, I know Michael Douglas played that part, but other than mocap, it's still his entire face is CGI. You can see, you know, as long as they know the placement of your eyes, as in the distance apart, and those key features of your face.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that?
So, can we just get back to the fact that the person who's going to play the young Han Solo in Steve's eyes is going to be the 78-year-old Harrison Ford?
No, it's going to be a CGI Harrison Ford, and he might even record his voice now for it. He might be sitting there doing the lines.
If they wanted to make a big blue space cat of him, then fine.
But yeah, this is really the other option.
Look, he's going to be perfected for a long time. They've only just really been able to get CG characters to walk and move like a human, and they started that with Terminator 2, Mr. Cameron again, and in retrospect it looked dreadful.
Yeah.
But it's taken 20, 30 years to get to this point, so I think it'll be 20, 30 years before you can have Harrison Ford running around being Harrison Ford again.
I agree with you. They haven't really been able to make CGI characters walk very well. It's all mocap. It's all motion capture now. So all they need to do is go and get a bum off the street, give him like a Stella or a Tenant Super. He can do all your mocap. He'll walk like Harrison Ford from Indy because he'll be drunk.
I think the best out of them physically is Scott Eastwood in terms of, you know, structure and the way they move, because he's a bit tall slim, isn't he? But
the only thing that worries me is just how athletic these guys look, because I'm looking at images of Blake Jenner at the moment. He looks like an Osmond. He looks like if Donnie Osmond was a quarterback, and it just worries me that you've got this modern physique now that all these young actors have got. And that wasn't Harrison Ford back in the day.
No, it's got to be, like, again, Gruber has got the right physique for it.
Yeah.
I have to say, Scott Eastwood's a good-looking cat, isn't he?
He is, isn't he? Just, very good. That's not...
He looks like Thor, doesn't he? Chris Hemsworth.
That's very not cool. Han Solo, is it?
No.
Han Solo was a scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got that reference.
You Google Anthony Ingruber, and it's like
he's a normal-looking dude.
Oh, why don't they listen to us?
No, I don't know. It seems like a wasted opportunity if they don't do that.
Let me get an independent adjudicator, Jen. Can I borrow you for 1 second live on Talk Star Wars, which means you have to put down that scrubbing brush and get your Irish round here. Hey, tell me if this guy, come over here if you don't mind. And thanks. If you think this guy looks who he looks like.
It's Harrison Ford.
No, it's not Harrison Ford. It's a guy called Anthony Ingruber who we all want to play Harrison Ford.
We wanted to play Han Solo.
That he is. That is. Wouldn't he be perfect for a young Han Solo?
He is perfect.
Yeah.
He is perfect. Okay. And he doesn't bring any baggage with him, does he? He doesn't bring any recognition with him. He doesn't bring another franchise into the fold of him where you're sitting there going, oh, didn't I see him in One Tree Hill? No. He's come from nowhere. He's perfect.
I'm pasting something into the show notes so you guys can have a look of a comparison between the two side by side.
Yeah, oh, yes. That's unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, it's very, very good. But yeah, I hopefully a bit of a sideswipe to get us off of him. But missed opportunity if they don't. Totally missed opportunity.
The only thing we've got to look at is, can he act?
Well, anyone can act if you do enough takes.
Really?
That's really not what I meant, because there are actors sitting out there going, you have no idea, and I get that. But you can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear to some degree if they've got other characteristics that are too good to be not to be taken advantage of. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you completely, yeah. I don't think that we're talking about... We're not asking him to do... A performance.
It's not Shakespeare, is it?
No, it's not going to be. It's not going to be Oscar-worthy fare, is it? This is Star Wars acting. At the end of the day, it's faster and more intense, and that he's just got to be quick with a one-liner, and he needs to shoot first, and he's done, hasn't he? It doesn't need to be. He's not going to be delivering a soliloquy.
No.
I'm not trying to disparage Mr. Ungruber's work. I think that he's probably a fantastic actor and he just hasn't been given the opportunity to shine. I don't think anyone's suggesting that he can't do the role. I think, Steve, it might pay a little bit more into what you're saying, that we're being kept in the dark here.
Yeah, yeah. That picture on the left, by the way, isn't Harrison Ford.
What is it, a toy?
No, the picture I just sent isn't. Yeah. That is Anthony Gruber, which I had to give it like a treble take because I don't know.
To Chris Pratt?
Yeah,
that's Anthony and Gruber.
That apparently, from the site I just took it, yes, he's dressed up as I don't know. I'm not
gonna. No way, because he's got a scar on the chin. Unless they put the scar on his chin, that is not him.
I think that's a wax dummy, mate.
Yeah,
it looks too good, doesn't it?
Anyway, it's an audio podcast, and we're talking about photographs. Look at that, people. What do you think, listeners?
Yeah. Well, we put these links in, Mark, on the website.
I'll try and grab... Yeah, I'm opening them up now. I'll grab the link, especially to that first one that you put in there, because that's...
Yeah, it's phenomenal. There are even better ones than that, really, but...
That might even go on as the cover art for this episode.
Yes, should do.
Good call, that.
Okay, well, there we go. I think we had another subject in here, but I think we're just about out of time. So yeah, we'll stick a pin in that, and perhaps we'll get another episode out of that.
An episode in that on its own.
I think you're right. So,
well, we need to start a thing on Twitter. Do you think Anthony Ingruber should be a young Han Solo?
Yeah.
See what the poll comes back.
And then we'll see. Well, actually, we'll wait and see if Anthony Ingruber accepts our invitation to the podcast. Because if he doesn't, then screw him. Squat Eastwood all the way.
I did invite him today.
That would be awesome if we could get him on. But yeah, I'm in his camp. I want him. So yeah, perhaps we should start a petition.
Yeah, well, let's see if he can come on. I know, you know. I mean, why not? You know, if we start building a fan base for him, why not?
Why not indeed? Okay, that's us done for this week then, kids. Guys, where can people find you on Tinternets?
Well, I need everyone who cares about the planet and consequently cares about watching more Star Wars films, because it might not be a priority in a few years after we're all suffering because of climate change, to sponsor me on justgiving.com/warewalk, W-A-R-E, walk. Because I'm doing a 15-mile sponsored walk to work and back this Friday, and it's to save the rainforest, and I desperately need some sponsorship, so please, please, please help if you can. Thank you very much.
Will it still be open on Monday?
It will be open up to the 25th, which is payday for most people. So
fantastic. All right, there is a link in the show notes, so you can just drop down to the full description of this episode and click on the link.
Brilliant.
Jeremy?
I am on Twitter as Stormtrooper Zombie, I believe. I don't even remember. And that's about it, really. You don't need to give me any money, because I can't be bothered to walk anywhere, really.
there's a link to all the Jeremy stuff in the show notes, as is the link to Talk Star Wars as well, at Talk Star Wars on Twitter. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a bit more news, because we would have had more time for stuff to happen. If you need to get in touch with us, or you want to send us questions or comments or opinions, or want to tell us that Steve's right and we're wrong, which I doubt you would want to say that, email us at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. That's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening.
Yep. See ya.
May the thingy be with you.
And also with you.
Midichlorians.
Yeah.